So feel free to experiment with these different modes of mindfulness in your practice today. And just a little bit more about the power of samadhi, stability, steadiness of mind, and how this process of slowing down is such a powerful support for it. And it's almost a trade secret that the samadhi is deeply pleasant, and that's why we do the slowing down. So if you'd like to enjoy this retreat more, you might experiment with letting yourself drop down a little more into the slowness. And if that is not happening, then that's a pretty reliable sign that one or more of the hindrances are getting in the way. So next time you recognize that you might be moving a little faster, take a moment to stop and see if you can identify which of the hindrances might be propelling that speediness. For example, is it some kind of desire for sense pleasure? Rushing to get that cup of tea? Feel the pressure of that and let it go, because the tea isn't going to go anywhere. So can you just relax and slowly move towards the tea station? Or is it some kind of ill will, aversion, anger or fear? Now these are fairly strong terms, but all of these hindrances cover a whole spectrum of intensity. So from the most full on at one end to just those subtle traces of wanting or not wanting. So ill will can take the form of just a flicker of irritation or impatience, perhaps not wanting to wait in line for lunch, and that propels us to get to the dining room quickly. And again, just feeling that pressure of the hindrance of aversion. Maybe even experimenting with deliberately arriving a little later so that you can meet those waves of impatience and irritation with kindness rather than fueling it. So then there's sloth and torpor. And at first these might not sound like they'd be responsible for rushing, but sloth and torpor also includes the desire to blank out, to disconnect, and it can show up as apathy or withdrawal. So perhaps at the end of a long day of practice, there's that wave of, get me out of here, get me to bed. And instead of letting that energy push you along, see if you can relax with it. Because rationally, whether your head hits the pillow within the next 2 minutes or the next 5 minutes, is not going to make that much difference in the bigger scheme of things. So then the hindrances of restlessness and worry, these might be easier to recognize as a barrier to slowing down, because by their nature, they tend to show up as speedy and agitated movements. And there can be an inner pressure that tells us that if we have to sit still for 1 minute longer, we're going to explode. And then when the bell does ring, that energy propels us out of the hall like a rocket. So just to notice that with kindness. And then in the form of worry, this hindrance can show up as anxiety. Perhaps an anxiety that's propelling us to rush to get our work done in time. Or anxiety about being late for the next sitting. So in both cases, the strategy is the same. Physically stop. Pause. Feel the effect of that. Recognize, oh, this is restlessness and worry. And then rather than judging it or fighting it or trying to get rid of it, make space for it. The energy will still be there, but it's less intense if we're not clamping down or struggling with it. It will likely subside of its own accord. And if it doesn't, then you can offer yourself a moment or two of compassion. So the last hindrance of skeptical doubt, it can get in the way of slowing down when we tell ourselves, I can't do that. That's just not me. That's not who I am. I'm just speedy. Or, where's the proof that this is even going to work? I mean, scientifically, how do we know that slowing down develops samadhi? Or how do I know it's going to be pleasant? I just find it irritating. Or, she's just trying to turn us all into zombies, but I'm smarter than that. So skeptical doubt, for most people, is the hardest of these hindrances to recognize. But with practice, we do learn to recognize these inner voices that sound so sophisticated and clever, maybe even wise. And we learn to recognize the tone of those voices, which is often cynical, sarcastic, patronizing, even arrogant. And when we investigate that skeptical doubt more closely, we can connect with the pain that's underneath it, the disconnection, the isolation, the alienation. And again, we can try to meet that distress with compassion. So that's a brief overview of how these five hindrances can get in the way of slowing down and deepening our samadhi. But in service of balance, I'd like to look at the other side too. What it's like when we are able to release the hindrances, at least temporarily, and touch into the pleasure of samadhi. So just let yourself stay with that pleasure as long as it's present. So remembering that this is a form of wise effort. It's the effort to help the skillful mental qualities to come up, and then when they do, to help them to deepen. So don't be afraid to abide in, to dwell in, to soak in whatever pleasant states do come up, while still knowing that they will change. So this is the challenge of accepting and allowing them when they naturally arise, but not getting disappointed or frustrated when they naturally pass away. Because this alternating of the skillful states coming and going, it's a natural aspect of the practice. It's a natural rhythm. Just like night and day, just like the seasons changing. So we try not to fight those rhythms. And as we get more experience, the pendulum swings from pleasant to unpleasant become less intense. And there's a more easeful acceptance of however it is right now. Because our deepening insight into impermanence.